Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Time for the fourth part of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth, a play for which Gil Bevilacqua drew inspiration from the Acts of the Apostles, but also from the letters of St. Paul. St. Paul, to whom Pope Benedict XVI has dedicated a special year, which begins next week. Stay tuned.
The last episode told of the release from prison of Peter and John and of their return to the community. You heard of the practice of the Christians of holding goods in common, of the gift of Barnabas, and the sin and punishment of Ananias and Sapphira.
I wasn't there.
My brother had to help them carry him out. They had to bury him quickly.
Didn't he have a wife?
Oh, yes. No children, though. And they were really rich.
I wonder what she'll do when she hears about it.
Look, that's her coming up the street. Quick, let's get in before she does.
Yes, that's her, all right. I can tell by the way she walks. Thinks she's the Queen of Sheba.
Oh, with all that money.
I want to see your leader.
I am Peter. What can I do for you?
My name is Sapphira. My husband, I think, has already been to see you.
Your husband?
Ananias is his name.
Yes, indeed, your husband did come to see me.
Ah, and so you've received our gift to the church.
Yes, we received the gift.
All our worldly goods.
Is that so? You sold your land, I believe.
Oh, yes, our land, our property, everything we had, all for the church. We are now poor with the poor.
So you and your husband agreed to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test. What made you do it?
What do you say?
Do you know where these young men have been and what they've been doing?
What do I know about them and what they have been doing?
They have just done your husband the last service he will receive in this world.
What do you mean? Where is my husband?
These young men have been burying him. Now they will carry you out, too. Lay her beside her husband.
Lift her gently.
That's it.
Come on.
Make way, please. Make way.
And now, brothers and sisters, let us pray that God will have mercy on this man and on this woman, his wife.
How can God forgive such a crime?
The Lord can forgive where we cannot. We must hope that at the moment of death itself, they might have repented of their attempt to deceive.
And great fear came upon the whole church, and upon all who heard of these things.
Today's episode tells how the many cures worked by the apostles and their success in preaching lead to their imprisonment by the high priests. After their miraculous release, the apostles are interrogated and warned never to preach again in the name of Jesus.
And so it was that the disciples used to meet by common consent in the portico of Solomon. No one else dared to join them, but the people were loud in their praise, and the numbers of men and women who came to believe in the Lord increased steadily. So many signs and wonders were worked among the people at the hands of the apostles, that the sick were even taken out into the streets and laid in beds and sleeping mats, in the hope that at least the shadow of Peter might fall across some of them as he went past. People even came crowding in from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing with them their sick and those tormented by unclean spirits. And all of them were cured.
No, Mark. These are not easy to cast out. When we tried first, the Lord was still with us, and we couldn't do it. And we asked him why not. Remember, Peter?
I do indeed. The dumb boy, the epileptic. What a fearful state that child was in. They begged us to do something. But we were powerless against the force of such evil. Then the Master came, and all was peace and light.
It was like the calm after one of those terrible storms on the lake, when you suddenly realize you're still alive.
But what did the Master say about trying to cast out the demons?
He said, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting."
Which is why we sometimes refuse your mother's delicious sweetmeats.
I did wonder. Oh, that reminds me. I promised to take some of Mother's specials to that little girl you cured, the one with the limp.
You go, Mark. We'll see you later. There's still much to do here. Coming, John? We must go and see that family with the blind child. They've been waiting all day.
Okay, let's go.
What is to be done, gentlemen? Have you a solution to this Jesus mania? How do we deal with these men without enraging the people?
We just punish them, frighten them, eliminate them if necessary.
Who is it?
Urgent message! The temple! The people!
Well, what's happening in the temple?
Solomon's porch! They're all there! The fisherman, his brother, that other tall one, all of them! They're preaching, healing! I never saw so many cured! And the people, you should just see them! They've come from all over the place. They're thronging from the hills, carrying their sick in carts on mules. It's like a feast day.
That settles it. We can't let this go on any longer.
They might be dangerous.
The danger is not what you think. We are in danger of losing our authority, our power over the people. We must act immediately.
What are you going to do?
Remove them from circulation. That way the people will forget about them and all this nonsense of cures will stop.
What about the rest of them? They'll go on doing the same thing.
We'll get them all.
All 12 of them?
All 12. It's time we took serious measures to stop this whole business.
And so it was that the high priest, prompted by jealousy, with all his supporters from the party of the Sadducees, arrested the apostles and had them put in the common jail.
That light! Oh, it's blinding! Wake up, Peter!
Come! The gates are open! You're all free!
An angel of the Lord. Look, the chains are broken.
Now go, all of you, back to your homes. And as soon as dawn breaks, go and stand in the temple and tell the people all about this new life.
They did as they were told. They went into the temple at dawn and began to preach. When the high priest arrived, he and his supporters convened the Sanhedrin. This was the full Senate of Israel.
Let us call in the prisoners. Guard, go and bring us the 12.
The prisoners, sir?
Well, what is it? Where are they?
They're not there.
What do you mean they're not there?
They've escaped, sir.
Escaped? What are you talking about? No one's ever escaped from that dungeon.
I'm telling you, sir, the prisoners have gone. They've escaped.
No, not true. Not possible.
Will you please explain exactly what has happened?
Sir, when we went to the jail, it was securely locked. The warders were still on duty outside. So we unlocked the gates. But when we looked inside, there was no one there. Then Gaius came back from the temple and said they were there. All 12 of them, with them just standing there preaching, and the people crowding round them.
No.
Quiet, everybody! We must handle this carefully. Are you the captain of the temple guard?
At your service, sir.
You will go with your men and fetch these scoundrels. Yes, sir. But no violence, mind. The people are very touchy. They might stone you if they think you're going to harm these men.
Look, what are we going to do, Caiaphas? These men have some supernatural power. There's witchcraft in it somewhere.
Fiddlesticks. These men don't even know how to read or write. Leave it to me. I know how to handle wrongdoers, you'll see. They'll think twice before they dare to set foot in the temple again. Now then, you men, we gave you a formal warning. We charged you strictly not to preach in this name, this Jesus. And instead, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you seem determined to fix the guilt of this man's death on us. Silence, everybody! Well, what do you men have to say for yourselves?
Whom must we obey, God or man?
God.
It was the God of our ancestors who raised up Jesus. But it was you who had him executed by hanging on a tree. By his own right hand, God has now raised him up to be leader and savior. We are witnesses to all this. We and the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.
Put this to death!
Wait. Don't be so hasty, friends. Listen.
Who's that? Who is that Pharisee teacher?
Gamaliel wants to speak. Let's hear what he has to say.
Speak, Gamaliel.
Brother priests, we are being too hasty. I would ask that these men be taken outside for a while.
Granted. Guards, remove the prisoners. Well, Gamaliel, tell us your thoughts.
Men of Israel, be careful what you do with these men. You remember not so long ago, there was Titus, who became notorious. He claimed to be someone important, and he even collected about 400 followers. But then he was killed. All of his followers scattered, and that was the end of them. Then there was Judas the Galilean. It was the time of the census. He attracted crowds of supporters, but he got killed too, and all his followers dispersed. Now then, what I suggest, therefore, is this. Leave these men alone. Let them go. No, listen to me. If this enterprise, this movement of theirs, if it's of human origin, it will break up of its own accord. But if it does, in fact, come from God, not only will you be unable to destroy these men, but you might find yourselves fighting against God.
Maybe we should be more careful. But still, we can't just let them do what they like.
No, no, we should punish them. Have them flogged.
Gamaliel's advice was accepted, and they had the apostles called in, gave orders for them to be flogged, warned them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and released them. And so they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, glad to have had the honor of suffering humiliation for the sake of the name. They preached every day, both in the temple and in private houses, and their proclamation of the good news of Christ Jesus was never interrupted. Thank you.
Yes, this is the place. That big stone was where the master used to sit. And this old olive, what scenes it has witnessed.
It's quite a climb up here, to the Garden of Gethsemane. Mary said you come here often.
Yes, it's a sacred place. He made it so. That last night he prayed here and asked us to pray with him.
And did you?
We slept, man, slept, while Judas was coming up with the soldiers. Sometimes I imagine I'm back here and I see those lanterns coming, swinging up the hill in the dark. And I hear the master say, "Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
And then it all happened. I came up to find you all, and there were the soldiers, and then you all...
Then we all left him. We left him to his fate.
I was rather confused. I'd been sleeping, and my mother called me and said you were all up at Gethsemane, and something about she'd heard a story of Judas and the chief priests. I say, Peter...
What?
I was thinking, all the things he did, everything he said, all the cures, his whole life, can't just end, disappear, can it?
It isn't ending, Mark. It's just beginning. It can't disappear. You see, he's with us. Always.
Oh, but we won't always be here, will we?
So?
So I thought, why don't we put it all down, in writing? I mean, like a story. And then it would be there always for everyone, for all those who never saw him, never heard him, who didn't even know about him.
It's a wonderful idea. But who would do it? I have no writing skills.
I'll write it for you, Peter. You can tell it to me and I'll write it down. I'll be your scribe.
The time will come, Mark. But it's too soon yet. There's so much work to be done first. We have to spread the good news to many people yet.
How will we know when it's time?
The Spirit will prompt us. You may be sure of that.
You have been listening to the fourth episode of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth. Taking part in this episode were Anton Alexander, Arthur Baum, Eleonora Baldwin, Maya Glickman, Buck Heron, Don Hodson, Stephen Nailwick, Clive Rich, Helen Sterling, and Veronica Wells. The sound engineer was Luciano D'Andrea. The programme was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett in the studios of Vatican Radio in Rome.
Be sure to tune in next week for the fifth part of this radio drama. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.